Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts. The New Testament book of Acts and chapter number 20. The New Testament book of Acts and chapter number 20. We are now on the downhill slide of the Apostle Paul's third missionary journey. We have traveled with the Apostle Paul for quite a while now. And on the second missionary journey, God opened up the door to Europe, and he went and started some churches in Corinth, in Galatia, and several other things within Europe. On the third missionary journey was his longest journey, where he spent different time in places. For example, he spent about 2 years plus in the city of Ephesus, which is a church he loved so much. Now, as we find him on the close of his third missionary journey, we could see that he's on his way back to Jerusalem, and pick it up with me in the book of Acts in chapter number 20. Acts 20, and notice with me starting at verse number 13. Acts 20 and verse 13, the Bible says this: "And we went before to ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he had met us at Assos, we took him in and went to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came over the next day against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Troglodyte. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying of wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Acts? The book of Acts in chapter number 20 and the verse 24, we see this phrase the Apostle Paul declared, but none of these things move me. But none of these things move me. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach the message from this chapter here. None of these things move me. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege it is to open up the Word of God in this most important message here, declaring that none of these things move me. I'm praying that we would be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We know that one day we're going to stand before you and give an account. One day we're going to look at our life and see how much of it was lived unto you. I'm praying that you would help us through our trials and to our temptations. I ask that you help us to keep looking to you and all of those things, and that we would not be moved, that we wouldn't quit, we wouldn't stop, but keep moving forward for you. Again, open up this message in a special way. Open up your word, let it be clear, let it be understood, and help us to apply it within our own lives. We love you. Again, I beg that you fill me with your precious spirit, and that you get your own work accomplished through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. What a powerful statement the Apostle Paul said. None of these things move me. He says, even though I know I've got temptations, I've got troubles, I know what's coming ahead, none of these things move me. Even though I know what's going to happen to you, none of these things move me. What a powerful statement. He was telling these Ephesian elders that, hey, no matter what, I'm still going to preach the same gospel. No matter what, I'm still going to preach out of the same Bible. No matter what, I'm still going to keep the message the same. No matter what, I'm still going to live my life the same. No matter what, none of these things will move me from where I stand right now. It was Bob Jones Sr., a powerful preacher of yesteryear, who said this: the true measure of a man is not what he accomplishes, but what it takes to stop him. Think about that. The true measure of a man is not what someone accomplishes, but what it takes to stop him. For some people, all it takes for them not to come to church is a rain cloud in the sky. It could be all blue, but that one rain cloud, nope, can't make it to church. Paul said, but none of these things will move me. Oh, I got a little bit of allergy attack, I can't make it to church. Well, none of these things will move me. Oh, I've got too much work to do, I can't make it do what God's asked me to do. But none of these things shall move me. You know, what obstacles in your way? Well, my neighbors, they may not like what I say, but none of these things shall move me. Well, some people may not like what I think. Well, none of these things shall move me. The true measure of a man, the true measure of who you are, is not what you accomplish, but rather, what does it take to stop you? What will stop you from preaching the gospel? What will stop you from passing out tracts? What will stop you from being faithful to the house of God? What will stop you from giving? What will stop you from doing those things God has given you to do? That is the true measure of who you are. As for Paul, he said, none of these things shall move me. None of these things shall move me. Let's pick it up in the context of it. In the book of Acts in chapter number 20. If you remember, the Apostle Paul had been through quite a lot. He was at the church of Ephesus, the church that he loved so much. when he received the news that the churches of Galatia had been taught another gospel and that they now believed they could lose their salvation. The church of Corinth went in full-blown rebellion. His health started to fail so much that he was about ready to die at Troas. But what happened is that God healed him, that the people at at Corinth responded well, and he sent another letter by Titus. The churches of Galatia seem to have settled down. Now it seems like things are moving in the right direction. But there's still one more hiccup. The Apostle Paul has understood by the will of the Lord where his next destination is. That he's going to Jerusalem, and he knows that he's going to be put in bounds. He's going to be put in chains. He knows that something's going to happen. He doesn't know how it's all going to happen, but he knows that God says, you're going to Jerusalem, and guess what? You're going to be arrested, and bad things are going to happen. Now, if you could somehow get a crystal ball and see your future, and you know that if you kept following the Lord, that you would end up in jail, and someone would throw away the key, would that stop you? If you knew that some hard times were going to come ahead and you were going to suffer for the cause of Christ, would that stop you? Now, someone says that knowing the future is a very dangerous thing. But you know what? The Apostle Paul said, none of these things will move me. None of these things move me. Even though I know where I'm headed, I know I'm going to Jerusalem. I know I'm going to be put in chains. I know I'm going to be arrested. I know some bad things are going to happen. I'm still not going to be moved. I'm still moving forward. So let's pick it up. As the Apostle Paul has moved from one storm and he knows he's about ready to go to another one. And notice with me in verse 13. And we went to ship and sailed to Assos, and they're intending to take in Paul. Now, what happened is that they're sailing from Greece and they're going around Europe, going into Asia. And it says they have to stop to pick up Paul. Why do they have to stop and pick up Paul? Well, Paul decided that he was going to walk. That while everyone's sailing the ship, he's going to take the long way around and he's going to walk. And pretty much tell everyone as he's going down the road, hey, you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Hey, can I do this? He says, I'm going to go the long way around. I'm going to choose to go the long way around. So they said, all right. So they got in the ship and they said, all right, we'll wait for Paul to get to us. And he picked it up. Can you imagine that? He chose to walk just so he could talk to more people. You know, we still have choices like that today. You say, really? Yep. When you go to Walmart, you got the self-checkout line or you got a live person. Which one do you think needs the track the most? Right? I mean, you could do things the easy, convenient way. Or I could stand in line just to tell that person, can I pray for you and pass out a tract? You understand, Paul chose, let's talk to more people. Let's get to the line where we have to wait a little bit longer. It's a little bit more inconvenient, but I get to talk to more people this way. Paul said, none of these things will move me. You know, the other disciples, they were glad, Paul's companions, hey, we're glad to get on the boat. We'll just wait for Paul. And that's what they did. So they went and they picked him up. And they finally decided to sail. After Paul took that long walk, he said, you know what? It's almost Passover time. If we hurry, we can make it to Jerusalem. You'd almost think, if we hurry, you just walked. No, let's make it to Jerusalem. And so he gets in so much of a hurry that he says, we can't stop by Ephesus. I really love that church and I love the people of the church, but I can't make it over there. So what they do is they stop into a port of Mileta, and they had sent a runner beforehand to go to Ephesus and say, Paul needs to talk with you. He's over at the port. You need to go now. And so they gathered all the leaders of the church, and the church is now in Ephesus. And they now come and they meet with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul greets them and he's so glad to see them. Notice verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus. That means he wanted to go past it because he would not spend time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said and begins his speech. And as we see here, Paul pours out his heart. If there's a more intimate, there's no more intimate message that Paul has recorded in the Bible than what is recorded in Acts chapter 20. He's talking to people that already know Jesus as their Savior. He's talking to people that have already decided they were going to follow after Christ with their salvation. He's talking to people who are already leaders. And he pulls them aside and he's with tears in his eyes. He begins to tell them and encourage them, knowing this one fact, he's not going to see them again. You know, there's something about last words. Something that when you just know that this is the last time you're ever going to talk to them, you want to make sure those words are important. You want to make sure those words are something that are going to be a help, something they'll remember, something that's going to carry on. So knowing this is the last time he's going to see these people, knowing that this is the last time he'll see this church, he tells them, none of these things will move me. And he gives them three specific areas where he says, I will not be moved. There are three things that I will not stop doing. The first thing we see here is that Paul says, I won't stop preaching the gospel. I won't stop preaching the gospel. Pick it up with me in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, ye know from the first day that I came to Asia, what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Meaning, you've seen me at all seasons. My good, my bad, the ugly. You've been with me and you saw how I was consistent. He says, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Meaning, the Apostle Paul said, I'm nowhere special. I'm just doing what God's told me to do. And with many tears and temptations which befell of me by the lying of weight of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you. Notice this in two ways, publicly and house to house. Some preachers call this our 2020 vision. It's Acts 20:20. What's our 2020 vision? We're to give the gospel publicly and from house to house. You ever want to know if door knocking and going house to house is in the Bible? Here you go. This is what Paul did. He went publicly and talked about his faith publicly. He would get in public debates with people. But he would also go house to house and give people the gospel. He said, I'm not going to stop giving the gospel. I'm still going to be obedient. None of these things shall move me. I'm not going to stop giving the gospel. He continues with that same thought, verse 21. What is he telling them? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Meaning that when he went house to house, he didn't care if they were Jew or Greeks. He told everyone the gospel. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly the gospel message. Repentance towards God, that carries the idea that you recognize that you are a sinner. And because of your sin, you deserve to go to an awful place called hell. No ands, ifs, or buts. You are deserving of hell. And you have no other hope but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you. And that you have to come to the place where you recognize that there is nothing you can do. The only hope is Jesus. And that's the message he preached to both to the Jews and to the Greeks. Verse 22. And now, behold, I go in the Spirit. Notice that. This isn't his will. This is the Holy Spirit. God says, you're going to Jerusalem. He says, yes, sir. Then behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying, the bonds and afflictions abide me. So he's saying, I know that I'm going. The Holy Spirit's told me. I don't know what's going to happen. But he knows that, guess what's awaiting for me? Chains and prison. But guess what? None of these things shall move me. Think of that. He knows where he's going, but he's still going to do it. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to prison and I'm doing it with joy. Why? Because this is what God has given to me. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I'm going anyways, and I'm going happily. You know, you could drag some people and they're not happy about it. Well, fine, I'll pass out a track if I have to. And he's glad, even though he knows what's going to happen. He says, none of these things are going to move me. Man, I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm obeying what God's given to me. How can I not do this knowing that God has done all these things for me? Notice, I'm going to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He says, you know what's not going to stop? I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. I don't care if they put me in jail, I'm still going to preach the gospel. I don't care if something bad happens to me, I'm still preaching the gospel. I don't care if they threaten my life, I'm still going to preach the gospel. 25, and now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone out preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He says, I'm brokenhearted because I'm not going to see you again. This is the last time I spend with you. But I want you to know one thing. I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. I'm not going to stop. You could rest assured that when they put me in jail, I'm still going to tell people about Jesus. When they threaten my life, I'm letting you know, church, I'm still going to tell people about Jesus. He says, none of these things move me. Let me tell you some things I'm not going to stop doing. I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. There's a second thing here in this text is the Paul's intimate plea, intimate talk, intimate preaching with these people from Ephesus that he says, none of these things will move me. Let me tell you, there's some things that's not going to change. I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. The second thing he says, not only will I not stop preaching the gospel, but I will not stop warning from the Bible. I will not stop warning from the Bible. Notice with me in verse 26. He says, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. And that's a powerful statement. We had spoke about several weeks ago about being in Corinth, and he says that I'm clear from the blood, and that this is taken from Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33, that God's told Ezekiel that you're a watchman, and if you fail to warn people, their blood will be on your hands. You know what Paul is saying in this powerful statement? He says, there's no blood in my hands. I've told everybody that God's put in my path about Jesus Christ. I've told everybody I am free. I'm clean from the blood. That there's no blood in my hands. I warned them. They may not have listened, but I warned them. Verse number 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Notice that phrase. What Paul said. I have not failed. I have told you. Notice this, all the counsel of God. That means he told you all of it. The good news and the bad, the easy stuff to preach and the hard stuff to preach. I preached it all. I understand that there's some preachers that say, well, I'm just a gospel preacher and all I do is preach from the gospel records. And I can appreciate that. We should tell people about Jesus Christ every service. We should run to the cross. But do you understand that God has given us all the Bible to preach? Not just a certain section, but all of it. That it's my responsibility to preach through Haggai, Obadiah, Job, to preach through Philemon, to explain what the Bible says in the gospel records, as well as explain the Song of Solomon. That I'm supposed to declare the whole counsel of God, every bit of it. That is a responsibility I have. And you understand that if I fail to do that, I'm guilty. I'm withholding some knowledge about who God is. When I fail to preach the whole counsel of God. Notice verse 28. He's warning them now. He's trying to get intimate. He's trying to pull them aside. And he's trying to give them some warning now. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourself. And to all the flock for over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To feed the church of God. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now again. Verse 28 is a preface. He's saying, God's given you a responsibility. You're supposed to pastor the people. You're supposed to feed the flock. You're supposed to take care of them. Now, here's the warning. He says, for I know this. You want to know something that Paul knows? This is something with evidence, something with fact, something that's going to happen. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There's something about wolves. Now, God uses this phrase, wolves, several times in the Bible. Here he calls them grievous wolves. The idea of grievous wolves is the idea of something there to do harm. Grievous wolves have a desire to do harm. They tear, they rip, they destroy. Do you understand that part of a pastor's job is to guard the flock from wolves? And wolves are sneaky. Wolves are carnal. Wolves will come in. Wolves will try to pretend they're part of the sheep. And part of the discernment that a pastor is to have is to understand who's a wolf and who's not. Because you know what a wolf will do? is that they will not spare the flock. You know what they want to do is they want to destroy the sheep. They want to hurt the sheep. They want to keep them from serving God. They want to destroy them. And you know, there's sometimes that as a good shepherd, we'll have to chase some people away because they're wolves. Not because we're trying to be mean, but we're trying to protect the sheep. We're trying to protect the sheep. And wolves are a dangerous thing. Maybe sometime I'll preach an entire message on wolves. Wolves are dangerous and wolves are something. And you know what a good thing is to guard from wolves? Get a good sheepdog. You guys remember those old Looney Tunes cartoons when you had Sam the sheepdog, you know, had that big hair. He needed a haircut and he just put his head up. And the Wile E. Coyote would kept sneaking in. And that good old sheepdog, you know, what he would do is he would go pounce on that wolf. You know, every good pastor needs a good sheepdog. You know, I heard of a preacher. He had a brand new guy who was just newly saved and he was growing and he loved his pastor. And he was a big guy, just a huge, like NFL huge guy. And the pastor went on a visit and said, "Hey, you want to go on a visit with me?" And they had to go visit a disgruntled church member. And as they were sitting there, the disgruntled church member started yelling at the pastor and tearing down the pastor. And, you know, the pastor is supposed to be able to take it and listen and whatever else. But man, that guy was getting the NFL guy that got rough and he was getting upset. Finally, next thing you know, he pounced on the guy, knocked him down and is holding him, said, "Don't you dare say that against my pastor. Don't you dare talk to my pastor anymore like that ever again." And, you know, that guy never did. You say, do you condone that? Well, I can't control the actions of all my people. You know, you understand, you need to guard your pastor from some time. You know what people will do? Is they'll throw trash into any open container. If you get to the place where, "Pastor, people keep coming to me," that's a sign of a wolf. You shouldn't have an open container. You understand? By the way, anytime someone comes up to me and says, "Pastor, the people have been coming to me," I'll say, "Which people?" And if they don't answer me, you be dead sure we got a wolf. You know, a pastor needs to know these things. A pastor should know these things. But you have to be careful. You know what wolves will do is they'll try to get people to follow after them instead of the pastor. And again, I don't want to preach a whole message on the wolves. I might do that from some time because we need to be warned about wolves and be exposed who wolves are, blow whistles on the wolves. But Paul is saying, hey, you need, this is going to happen. I'm going to leave and some wolves are going to try to sneak in. And pastors, if you love the flock, if you're responsible for that flock, you guard them against the wolves because they're going to come and they're going to try to destroy that church. Satan cannot conquer a church from the outside. He'll help it explode from the inside. And he'll send wolves, and they're grievous wolves with the intention of doing harm, and they will not spare the flock. There's always casualties when a wolf attacks. Good. But he's warning them. Notice as he goes on, he says, "I know that this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves come, enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." He says, you know, if that wasn't bad enough, he says, some of you preachers, you're going to get to the place where you want to build a kingdom. And you're going to draw away disciples and say, "Hey, look, I have this knowledge no one else has." And you're going to teach something that's perverted from the Bible, something that's twisted, something that's wrested. And you're going to draw people near and say, "Look, I'm smarter than everyone else. Follow me instead of follow after Christ. Follow after Christ." He says, some of you are going to do that and you're going to hurt people. And unfortunately, we have pastors all around and preachers that try to draw people away to themselves. And that's a heartbreaking thing. And you know what's a prevention for that? We know for wolves, we got sheepdogs. What do you do about this? You teach people doctrine. You teach people doctrine. If people know what doctrine is in the Bible, they cannot be deceived and they cannot be misled. And we're supposed to teach clearly what does the Bible say so everybody knows. So if someone does come in here and say, "Let you know, those King James people, those are crazy." We all look at them and say, "Listen, this is the Bible we use. unapologetically. Well, you know, let me tell you, we believe that God has destined some people to heaven and some people to hell. And you say, no, the Bible says whosoever will, and they're not shaken from it. And I'm not trying to mess with people in the doctrine now. I'm trying to let you know we're going to teach what the Bible says. But that's the... We're not going to take special classes to say, well, this is what all these false people believe. You know how FBI agents and National Treasury agents are trained to find counterfeits? By studying the original. And if they know everything about the original, they could spot a fake. They don't have to study all the other fakes. They study the original. You know what we do? We study what the Bible says, and then people aren't swayed from it. He says, let me tell you, I won't be stopped warning people from the Bible. I won't stop warning people from the Bible. He goes on, verse 34. He says, or 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What is he talking about here? What he's speaking about here is that a lot of people like to apply this to soul winning, and it can be for soul winning. I believe that Paul did plead people, but what he's doing is he's pleading with the church. And he's warning them for 3 years as their pastor, night and day. He's warning them about doctrine. He's trying to teach them so that they don't fall away. Remember, he just had the church of Corinthians all rebel. He just had the churches of Galatia all kind of turn to a different gospel. You know, with the church of Ephesus, he says, listen here, we're going to teach you what the Bible says, and that way you'll never fall, you'll never shrink from it. We're going to tell you what the Bible says, and you're going to stay on that solid ground. For 3 years, night and day, with tears, I gave you the whole counsel of God. I've warned you, and I've tried to strengthen you so you'll stand. He says, none of these things will move me. What are some things that he won't quit? He won't quit preaching the gospel. He won't quit warning people from the Bible. There's a third thing that he won't quit. He says, I won't stop being an example for the Lord. I won't stop being an example for the Lord. Notice with me in verse number 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He says, you guys know me. You know, I've been there. He goes, I'm not in it for the money. That's been proven. I'm not in it for the money. He says, verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. He says, I've been willing to work. I've been working hard. And you saw that. You saw how hard I worked. Verse 35, and I've showed you all these things, that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed than to give. He says, I've been the example to you. You could follow after this pattern that I'm not after your money. What I've been doing is I've been working, and as I've been working, I've been trying to be a blessing to others. Verse 37, and when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and he prayed with them. Man, what a great example. He said, let's pray. Let's pray. And they knelt down and they prayed. When they were done praying, verse 37, they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Man, they were all in tears, just blubbering all over. Paul, we're going to miss you. Why is this such a big deal? Verse 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. These people loved the Apostle Paul, and he loved the church of Ephesus. And those people, when he got done warning them, tears in their eyes, they knelt down and they prayed, and tears fell more, and they hugged Paul's neck. They took turns and just wanted to hug their preacher. They loved him so much. And then it was time to leave, and they all went on the ship with him, you know, making sure he got his way. This is the last time we'll see the Apostle Paul. Why did he stop by? He stopped by and made a big deal, sent a runner to gather all those people because he wanted to let them know, none of these things move me. He says, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change from the gospel. I'm not going to change from warning people from the Bible. I'm not going to change, be an example. And he says, what I expect you to do is that you not to be moved either. I shall not be moved. You know, as we said at the beginning, the true measure of a man is not what it takes, what he accomplishes, but rather a true measure of a man is what does it take to stop him? Are you going to follow after him? This is a decision you make that, you know, it may be fun and games now. You may be having a good time, but what is it that's going to stop you from being faithful? What is it going to stop you? What is it that's the true measure? You say, well, I may not accomplish as much as someone else. Your race is not between someone else and you. It's between the opportunities and the abilities God has given you. But what would stop you from running your race? What would stop you from finishing your course? You know, the best decision is to make the decision now that nothing of these things are going to move me. That I'm going to keep going no matter what the hiccups, no matter if I get aggravated at pastor, no matter if some misunderstanding happens, no matter if some of my friends yell at me or laugh at me or snicker at me. I'm going to make a decision now before I come to that place that none of these things shall move me. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.